Today's first reading, the book of Exodus, we started on chapter 3, and it's that theophany. An awesome experience. Whenever there's a theophany in the Bible, someone comes across a manifestation of God, they are awe-inspired, they are astonished at what has happened. But why a burning bush? It's an appealing story for children, but this really is a grown-up story. It has tremendous significance for our faith. Why a burning bush? And it's a special bush. You can look these things up and find out there's a rose bush that lives out in that part of the world, which does flare up sometimes. But the significant bit is it was not being consumed by the fire. What's that about? Blazing but not burnt up. These are revelations about God. We tend to take them for granted now because they've been revealed to us for so long. But this was something being revealed to the people of the world through Moses. And then he wrote it down to share with everybody. A burning bush that is not consumed. God is the source of everything. God does not need his own fuel. God is almighty and all-powerful. It's not going to be consumed because God is present. There's another thing we forget today about fires. Fires were the only way of getting light artificially. But in those days, you had the sun, maybe the moon reflecting the sun. That was it. The only other form of light, a sign of God, fire. And that sign of God in fire is what we do on the Saturday, the Easter Vigil, out the back there. We have a fire burning to purify. Fire purifies and symbolizes the presence of God. That's why we have a fire out the back door there. And then come into church having lit the candle, the Paschal candle, the light of Christ to lead us into church. That symbol comes from this burning bush theophany. But we shouldn't try and strive for a scientific answer. Science only looks at the things of this world that can be measured. It's a material area of study. We're into the supernatural, the spiritual. It requires faith to understand what's happening here. Now, there is another revelation made to Moses by God when he speaks to him. God reminds Moses that he is the God of his ancestors. There's continuity there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob coming through to Moses. What we've got to remember is, and again we forget this because he was such a great leader of the Jewish people, Moses had been brought up in Egypt. He'd lapsed from the faith, the Jewish faith. And so many of his own people back in Egypt had lapsed. Moses had had to flee after murdering a man and being denounced. He's been in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember the 40, the significant number meaning a long time. And those lapsed Jews had been in Egypt for 400 years, 10 times that length of time. They'd forgotten about God. They were worshipping pagan gods. God reminds Moses, don't forget me. I am the God of your fathers. And in doing so, there is another revelation. There is life after death. Again, we just take it for granted because of what we know of what Jesus did. This is revealing to Moses, yes, it's not a rumor. This is true. There is life after death. Jesus refers to this burning bush when he says in Matthew 22, God is God not of the dead, but of the living. This is a revelation. And then at this theophany, this manifestation of God, Moses, to his complete astonishment, is sent out on a mission to go back to Egypt. It's a revelation. God is revealing his mission to the world, which is to go back and find his lost sheep to save the lost people of Israel. And Moses says something replies in a way which is a very human thing. He says, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I? I don't have the skills. I don't have the eloquence. I'm not powerful. Contrast that with that same man Moses 40 years before. He was a prince in Egypt. He was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. Powerful man. And he's left. And what's happened in those 40 years? He's become a humble man. He's become a shepherd. And it says right at the beginning, Moses was looking after the flock of Jethro. After 40 years, he hasn't got his own sheep. He's still only looking after the flock of Jethro. And it's made him humble. And he's willing to say, who am I? He's not being sarcastic. And God says, I will be with you throughout it. That's what Jesus said. I will be with you to the end of time. Jesus, God, same thing. God is being revealed. He's revealed something to Moses there. God is with us all the time. Again, we take it for granted. But Moses basically says, how will I know this is true? And he got a surprising reply. Because when you think about it, God's all powerful, the source of all energy, whatever. He could do this himself. God chooses in his mission in this world to use people to do things. And sometimes it's a difficult, stony path. It doesn't get the results we expect. But in the end, we will get there. But God says, I will be with you. And he will give him a sign. And it's rather an unusual sign that he gives to Moses, because it requires faith. Again, note that with Jesus, whenever miracles happen, whenever revelations occur about God, it requires faith from the person concerned. And this requires tremendous faith. God says, I want you to go back to Egypt and bring your people out of slavery to the promised land. How will you know I'm with you? Because when you have done it, you will come back to this place and worship me with your people. Indeed, that is what happened. But he's basically saying, you'll know when you've done it. That requires tremendous faith. So what a tremendous change in a man from 40 years earlier to a humble man who doesn't think he's worthy, going back, probably aged about 80 years old, maybe a bit younger, to do something which he thinks he can't do, but oh yes, he can, God is with him. And at the end, it will be revealed to him that he's actually done what God asked of him. He has to have faith. And there's a story there for all of us in our journeys through our lives.